This podcast is from Christian Chapel in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, visit us online at christianchapel.com.
Well, good morning. It's good to have you at Christian Chapel this morning. My name is Cameron. I am the youth pastor here, and I have really good inside information that Light the Night is going to be really cool. So I would encourage you, no, seriously, though, if you know somebody who is a student, somebody who is in middle school or high school, get them here this Wednesday at 6 o'clock. This is going to be an awesome opportunity for students to hear the gospel and hopefully get connected with Christian Chapel. And if you don't know students, or really even if you do, please be in prayer for us, because this is really the biggest outreach that we do during the year and a great opportunity really to connect with some students from the community. So we appreciate your prayers for that as well. Well, this morning, Pastor Chris is not here, and so he had asked me to speak today as we continue our series about No Lonely People, and I'm going to talk to you today about the importance of developing healthy relationships, and particularly for young people. Now, this morning, if you would say, I don't identify as a young person, you're probably lying, because most of us in our mind, we all identify that way, okay? But if you don't identify that way, I would encourage you not to tune out this morning, because this message is definitely for you. In 2009, during the summer, I interned here at Christian Chapel, and the following fall, when I went back to start my senior year at Central Bible College, I had the opportunity to begin as my first ministry position as a part-time youth pastor at a small church in Fairgrove, Missouri. And when I sat down to begin this job, I sat down with the pastor. Pastor Brad McAtee was his name. I sat down with him, and he began to tell me about what he was expecting from the job, and he listed just two simple expectations. He said, I want you to love the kids and teach them the Word of God. And they just sat there, like, I'm expecting, like, this big list and everything. You know, I'm starting an official ministry position. Like, right there should be, he said, I want you to love the kids and teach them the Word of God. And obviously, there are other things that go with that, but those were his big expectations. And, you know, as I have been in youth ministry since then and doing different things and learning different things about ministry and about students, those two expectations have just kind of stuck. They've kind of been at the core of one of the things that I really try to emphasize with student ministry. And so as a youth pastor, I place this premium priority on the value of relationships in ministry. It is incredibly important that we build those relationships. Now, during our current series, we've been talking about the importance of being connected with others. And this morning, I want to talk to you about the importance of developing these healthy relationships, not only with your peers, but also in investing in younger generations. The saying goes that it takes a village to raise a child, and I think that's absolutely true when we talk about helping lead young people to serve the Lord. Takes a lot of people. You know, my goal as a youth pastor is not to get the largest group of people together in one place that I can and have pizza and throw a party. While it is a lot of fun, my goal is to see students become committed, lifelong followers of Jesus. And to do that, relationships are critical. Now, if you're not a teenager, you're not a parent of a teenager or a child this morning, don't check out, because this message is as much for you as anyone. Because we are the church. We're the body of Christ. And we all share this responsibility of encouraging each other in our faith. All of us need healthy relationships in our lives. This is especially true for young people who are still developing their identity and their beliefs. We need to recognize that we don't live in a world anymore where you can simply cast truth out there and it'll just stick. It doesn't work that way anymore. Truth that's spoken outside of the context of relationship is almost never going to be effective. Almost never going to be effectively received. We need to develop and cultivate healthy relationships that will give us a strong foundation for our faith, especially with young people. So when we talk about healthy relationships, what are we talking about? What do healthy relationships look like? Well, a couple of things. First, I want to mention that healthy relationships are necessary in our lives, both in quantity and in quality. You say, well, why is the quantity of healthy relationships important? Why can't I just have a few people that are close to me? I want to illustrate this morning the strength of a quantity of healthy relationships by using this rope here. So if we throw that scripture on the screen, Ecclesiastes 4:12 says that though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, and a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Okay, so here in the Bible, we see this illustration of strands being woven together to provide strength. Now, how many of you have ever tried to break a piece of rope? Just like snap it, all right? Anybody ever tried that? And just, okay, that doesn't work so well, right? Maybe you did it with a real thin one, or maybe you just thought you were Superman. I don't know. But if we came up this morning, if I had the strongest person in the church come up and try to snap this piece of rope, it's not going to work very well, is it? Now, if I give you a piece of thread, it's not going to be too hard. You just snap it, grab a scissors, cut right through it, no problem. Even if we made the material stronger and we got a steel wire, okay, I mean, you still just grab a wire cutter and you're right through it, right? It's not all that strong when it's by itself, but together there's strength. If we took a piece of nylon rope that's about a half inch thick, that'd be a little thicker than this one here. This is just kind of for demonstration so you can see the rope, but if we took a piece of nylon rope about a half inch thick and we went out in the parking lot and attached it to, you know, the average size car out there, and we took the other end and attached it to a crane, we could pick up that car without snapping the rope. That's how strong those threads can be when woven together, even though a single thread is not really all that strong. And as a student or a young adult or a young person in a postmodern, post-Christian America, your faith is constantly under siege. Popular culture is constantly putting out messages through music, through television, through movies that are completely contrary to the gospel. The messages that are being sent out are not at all what it means to follow Jesus. And technology gives us instant access to just an overwhelming amount of moral garbage on a regular basis. Less people have grown up in church, and so to be a Christian is no longer accepted as the norm. Some people think the solution to this, with all these negative influences, is if I can just isolate my kids from this problem, then they won't be affected by all these negative influences, and they'll be able to follow Jesus. And they create a bubble. The problem with any bubble is it's eventually going to pop. And while it's good to protect your kids from negative influences, we have to have a stronger foundation to help keep our faith strong. All of us need a quantity of healthy relationships, and especially young people, to strengthen our faith. So what kind of relationships are we talking about? We say a quantity. Are we just saying like a lot of friends? What are we talking about? You know, I think we all want to have this sincere and devoted faith. We want to see our kids grow up with that. So what are the influences that allow that to happen? And I want to look in Scripture at an example of a person who had three major influences that were poured into his life. His name is Timothy. You can read about Timothy in the Bible, but Timothy had three major influences that helped to shape him. And the first one was his family, his parents. In 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul writes to Timothy and he says, "I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." Now, parents are the single greatest spiritual influence in the life of young people, and it's not even close. This may sound obvious, but I'm telling you, it happens more often than you think that parents try to pass off the responsibility of discipling their kids to a youth pastor, to a youth leader, to somebody else, to a grandparent. But parents, don't miss this opportunity, because no one spends more time with your kids. No one knows them better. No one has a greater opportunity to influence them than parents. And as a youth pastor, it's my job to partner with parents to help students to have more opportunities to grow in their faith and to continue to seek the Lord. But here's the thing. If you're a parent and you're not actively engaged in being involved in modeling for your kids what it means to serve, to pray, to grow in your faith, the chances of them having that strong faith into adulthood are incredibly small. I did some digging around just because I like statistics, and I found a study that gave a little bit of insight into American teenagers. So this study showed that American teenagers between the ages of 15 and 17 who were raised by parents who did not have an active faith, out of that group, only 1% had an active faith as adults. 1%. Now, this same group of teenagers, 82% of them whose parents held a strong faith, described themselves as religiously active as adults. Now, here's my caveat to this. Statistics don't always tell the whole story. They can be a little misleading, all right? Just because somebody describes themselves as religiously active doesn't necessarily mean that they're a Christian. But the obvious conclusion from this study is that parents have an enormous impact on the spiritual aspect of their kids' lives. Your kids need to be involved, or you need to be involved in your kids' life. but especially in shaping their faith. Don't be afraid to have those conversations about spiritual matters. The good news is that if you're a parent, you have an enormous opportunity, but God also has not called you to do this alone. That's why we have a church where we have other believers who can come together and who can provide those quantity of healthy relationships to invest in young people. That means if you're a part of a church like Christian Chapel, you have the opportunity to be involved in ways that you can connect with others who will strengthen your faith. Whether you're an adult, whether you're a student, whether you're a child, these relationships are there. Parents have an enormous impact, but beyond parents, Timothy also had a mentor in his life. We need mentors, people that we look up to. Timothy had Paul to be somebody that he could look up to and who could strengthen his faith. In fact, in 1 Timothy 1:18, Paul addresses Timothy this way. He says, "Timothy, my son." That's the kind of relationship that they had, that Timothy could look to Paul almost as a father figure in his life, even though he had parents who served the Lord. Even if you have Christian parents, these kind of mentors, people who pour into the lives of young people, can be so vital to their faith. They add that additional perspective. It's like adding another strand to the rope to make it that much thicker and that much stronger. These relationships are so important. In my own life, I grew up in a Christian family. I had parents who were tremendous. They loved the Lord. They got me involved in church. They helped set the tone for me. But I also had a number of other people who helped me to grow in my faith. Sometimes I look at young people and I wonder, you know, why they're not where I feel like they should be in their faith. And a lot of times the reason is because they don't have those influences that are helping them to grow. In my own life, I think of one specific example. There was a man who was the lead pastor at my church when I was in high school. And he was not only the lead pastor, he was also the teen Bible quiz coach. Which was very interesting because he was in his 60s. And so it's just an amazing example because you wouldn't think for a teenager that I would look back on my teenage years and think of a guy in his 60s as one of the people who most influenced my life. But he came every week. He would make pizza a lot of times. He would give us free pop, which I still think was one of the only reasons that a lot of people were in Bible quiz. You know, but it got us there. You know, here we were, and he was giving us stuff, and he was spending time with us. And this pastor who would preach on a Sunday morning would give up his Sunday afternoons to be with a bunch of teenagers and teach them the Word of God. Now, I don't want you to take from that, like, the pastor's job is to just do everything all the time. All right, that's not the point. The point is that he didn't have to do this, but he stepped up as a mentor and said, "I want to invest in those that are younger than me." Nobody looked at my pastor and thought, "Man, he is so cool. He's all up to date with the latest trends and everything." That's not what this is about. Mentoring is about being there and being somebody who sets an example of what it means to follow Jesus. You know, those who help with our Royal Family Kids Clubs do this directly in our mentor program. That's an amazing, amazing ministry to invest in people. But even if you don't have the title of a mentor, you're not doing that job. If you are a follower of Jesus, that's your responsibility to be somebody who helps to lead others in their faith. You know, Pastor Amy and I have a heart to invest in the kids and the teenagers at Christian Chapel. We love what we do and the opportunities that we have to work with the kids that are here. But, you know, if you leave it up to her and me to be the sole sort of mentors for the kids at this church, it's not going to be very effective. I mean, I can give you an easy example of why. If you came up to our Remnant Youth Service last week, you'd come up there and you'd see about 30, 35 kids that would be sitting there throughout the service. And you know, if I tried to connect with each one of them individually, I would never even make it through them all, much less have a mentor-type relationship with them. And we have D group leaders and other youth leaders who come on Wednesdays that help us to invest in students, and we need that. But you know, there's just really never too much that you can do to invest in those that are coming after you. There's no way that we can over-mentor and over-invest in them. It's so important that we get involved because without those relationships, we're not going to accomplish much as far as influencing people. Timothy not only had a mentor, he not only had parents, but he also had friends that he was able to walk through his faith journey with. Silas traveled with Timothy during part of his ministry, and he was a friend and a peer that was able to work alongside him. And we need these kind of friends in our lives too. That's why it's important for us to be involved in church. And when I say involved, I don't just mean show up on a Sunday morning and be the first one out the door. It's good to hear the word of God, but we need these relationships. That's why it's so important for us to be involved when there are home groups, for young people to come to D groups, to be a part of what's happening at Kids Blast, to go to camps and retreats and different things. Not because those things in and of themselves make you a better Christian or any more spiritual, but because they provide that framework, that opportunity to build those kind of relationships that will strengthen your faith. It's important for all of us to have peers who are walking through the same journey of faith that we are. And we need these Christian friends. A quantity of healthy relationships helps to strengthen our faith, but you know, a quality of healthy relationships is just as important. So let's talk about this for a minute. So what exactly does a quality, healthy, godly relationship look like? Okay, I think first of all, a quality relationship does not happen with somebody who isn't present. You have to be there. If you're a parent, you need to spend time with your kids. If you're trying to mentor somebody, you can't do it by seeing them, you know, once a year, you know, with a 2-minute little phone call or something. Like, if you want to make a difference, influence is tied so closely to being present. We've got to be there for people. You can't have a quality relationship without quality time. Quality relationship means that that person can both encourage you and they can call you out on things. Chris mentioned this in one of the previous messages during this series, that somebody who is close to you, that kind of deep relationship means that they can not only say something to encourage you, but they can also say, hey, you're being dumb right now. You need to change that. And because of the nature of your relationship, you can receive that correction because of the relationship that is there. But if we don't have that relationship, then that correction is going to be perceived in completely the wrong way. And I will tell you, this is true, especially with young people. That's why there are so many young people in America who are skeptical of the church. They view the church as a bunch of judgmental people because their experience with church has been people who tell them what to do, but do not have a relationship. When you try to tell somebody that what they're doing is wrong, but you won't go out of your way to find out anything about them or know who they are, then it's not going to sit very well. A quality relationship is based on being able to spend time together and you know them so that you can speak truth into their life. And a quality relationship doesn't just teach, it models what it means to follow Jesus. I love being able to share on Wednesday nights the teenagers from the Word of God and to teach them different things. But you know, young people need to see following Jesus modeled in us. We need to model what it's like to handle adversity. They need to see what are our habits like? How do we give? How do you pray? How do you worship? How do you share your faith? See, Jesus didn't invite his disciples to show up from 4 to 6 every Thursday so he could just work through the Torah with them. He said, "Follow me." And they walked with him. They observed his life. He showed them what they were supposed to do. When it comes to discipleship, it's always better caught than taught. It's always better that way. But when young people have this quantity and this quality of healthy relationships, their faith is going to have the foundation that it needs to be a lifelong committed follower of Jesus, even in a hostile culture. We talk about this rope and how it's strong when it's together, but with a quantity and a quality of healthy relationships, let's imagine that instead of a nylon rope, we had a steel cable, okay? We've got a stronger material, and again, it's woven together into this strong steel cable. You know, when I was a youth pastor in Iowa, they had just finished building a zip line course at the campgrounds that the district owned there. And so I remember when I went, like getting in line for the first time to ride this zip line, there was a guy in front of me who I could tell seemed a little bit nervous. He was a bigger guy, probably weighed more than 300 pounds. And I could tell he just seemed a little uncertain about getting on this little line and zipping across, you know, over a big hillside. And my thoughts about him were confirmed when he went up to the attendant and he asked him, "Hey, is there a weight limit for this?" And so the attendant just sort of chuckled a little bit, and then he actually got everybody's attention and said, "You know what, everybody, I almost forgot to tell you. If you weigh more than 20,000 pounds, you can't ride this ride." Okay, no problem, right? No problem at all. Those steel cables are incredibly strong. When you take a strong material and you bind it together like that, it is incredibly strong, and that's the kind of foundation for faith that we can create when we develop these healthy relationships, both the quantity and the quality of them. Now, if we don't have these healthy relationships, it's definitely not a good thing. Now, imagine for just a moment in our own church, okay, if we just remove the people from our lives who have had that kind of a spiritual influence on us that developed our faith. Just by a show of hands this morning, if you were led to the Lord by a person of some kind, whether it was a pastor, a Sunday school teacher, a parent, a friend, there was somebody that led you to faith in Jesus. Would you just raise your hand this morning? Okay, you can put your hands down. If we took all of you and took you out of the church, what is Christian Chapel? Somebody invested in you somewhere. Somebody spoke truth to you. Somebody spent time with you. Somebody invited you somewhere. And we have to pass that on. Because if we don't have it, there's no church at all. Some statistics say that as many nationwide as 80% of teenagers stop attending church once they graduate. 80%. They were in church. It wasn't like they never went. They were in church and they left. Because when relationships are no longer automatically created and there is no firm foundation, then students are going to look elsewhere. They're going to try to find it somewhere because, see, God created us with this intrinsic need. We have to have relationships. That's just how we're wired. And so if we're not finding that in a healthy and a godly context, then people are going to look elsewhere. Young people end up turning to friends who may not have grown up in church. They may not have a Christian faith. And the influences that they give them are going to lead them away from the Lord. Maybe they're finding mentors in other places. And I use that word mentors loosely because there is good and solid mentor programs, but there's also people who try to fill that void of looking up to someone in their life by turning on the TV. And their mentor is a celebrity in a reality TV show that promotes promiscuity, gossip, and greed. You're going to find it somewhere. And if there's no relationships that are developed at all, then what happens is there is an isolation that happens. People can turn to things instead of other people because they're missing those deep and meaningful relationships. You end up with young people who grow up to become adults that are workaholics and they can't give themselves fully to their marriage or to being a parent because they don't understand healthy relationships. Try to fill that void with addictive behaviors. You get into drugs, start drinking it away, pornography. No one sets out in life to become an addict or to be alone. But when there are no meaningful relationships, it provides an easy slippery slope to fall into those patterns. When we lack those healthy, godly relationships, we hurt. But when we have them, they become an incredible blessing and an incredible strength in our lives. If we have healthy, godly relationships in our lives, it gives us a confident faith. We become confident because we aren't standing by ourselves. We're standing with those around us who are in the same journey as we are and following Jesus. You know, this is kind of a self-evident idea, but it's never seen more clearly than when you see a mob gather. Right? You see it on the news or you just hear about, you know, a group of people who get together and begin to just do stupid things. They just go crazy. People who, if you had a conversation with them face to face, they probably would never say those things or do some of those things. But when they get in a group that's all together, they get all riled up and suddenly they're extremely bold for bad causes usually. But imagine if that kind of boldness was in somebody because they had a network of healthy relationships to strengthen their faith so that they could go to a college that where they taught that there is no God and they teach things that challenge a student's faith and they can be strong because they have this network of people that encourage them to know, no, what I believe is real. My faith in Jesus is real. These relationships strengthen our faith. They give us a support system so that when things become difficult, we're not doing it on our own. One of the greatest things that can happen from having these strong and healthy relationships is it strengthens our own relationship with God. It's the most important relationship of all, and it can be strengthened because of these relationships with other believers. You know, when I was in high school, I had a friend that was the son of a Methodist pastor, and I remember one time he invited me over to his house, and I was there just kind of hanging out, and he started talking and telling me about some devotions that he had been doing and some things he was learning, and he was just all excited about it, going on and on. And I remember that particular point in my life, I remember kind of stopping and thinking, man, I probably should do something like that. I really wasn't doing much at that time to grow in my faith, but because I went over and because I saw the joy that he had in discovering new truths and what God was doing, it challenged me. And I went home and I thought, you know what, I'm going to read something. I'm going to grow a little bit too. That's the kind of thing that can happen when we have these healthy relationships, that we're encouraged by each other's faith and it makes us all stronger. When we have this faith, it's really important that we replicate it in others. And if you have not experienced strong and healthy relationships, then how are you going to pass that on to somebody else? Kids who grow up without an understanding of healthy relationships have a very hard time having those healthy relationships as adults. If you've been involved with royal family at all, you know this is true. It's more difficult when they haven't experienced that. And it's why programs like RFK are so important. But you know the reverse is also true. When you have healthy relationships, you know what those look like. You can draw on your own experiences to invest in others. And it's important that we do. There's a scripture in the Bible that talks about how there was an entire generation that grew up that did not know the Lord or what he had done for Israel. Now, here's the real huge problem with this. If that generation doesn't know who the Lord is, how are they going to pass it on to the next one? The chain's completely broken. This is why it's so important for us that when others have invested in us, we need to take that to heart and say, I need to pass on this to somebody else. I need to encourage someone else's faith. I need to serve to bless somebody else, because if we don't, then somewhere along the line, that chain breaks. We have an opportunity to leave this legacy of faith and to pass on the wisdom and the insight that we have from our own relationship with God to encourage those who come after us. And we need to not miss that opportunity. When we look inwardly, the thing is, we all recognize this importance of having healthy relationships with other people who strengthen our faith. The real question is, what are we doing to initiate those relationships? In other words, what does this mean for me? What does this mean for me as an individual? Well, if you're a parent this morning, I just want to encourage you in the fact that you have the greatest opportunity of all. Don't pass off to other people the opportunity to invest in your kids. And I know it sounds crazy, but I've seen it happen too many times where a parent will try to come to a youth pastor or pastor and say, hey, my kid's struggling with this. Well, have you talked to them about it? No, I haven't. Look, we are here at Christian Chapel to partner with you, to help you, to encourage you, and to help your kids grow in their faith. But if you're a parent, you need to be deeply and actively involved in your kids' life, especially in their faith. Love them. Correct them when they need it. They're going to hate it, of course. But it needs to be done. Push them to be involved in church where they can begin to become connected with some more of those meaningful relationships. If you're not a parent, maybe not yet or not anymore, you don't have somebody at home, but you're a part of this church, understand it's your responsibility to those who are younger, either in age or in the faith, to pass on what God has done in you. We have to continue to invest in those who come after us. If we don't, then the chain is broken. They're probably not going to come to you. You've got to choose to be intentional about investing in other people. Serve at Christian Chapel. Find a young person and talk to them. Learn a little bit about them. Learn their name. Find a family with kids and invite them over to dinner at your house. Okay? Hey, making dinner for a family can be a chore sometimes. Bless a family. Let them get to know you. Simple ways that you can invest, you can spend that quality time and model what it means to follow Jesus. And young people, you got to understand, you need godly relationships. And I'm talking about more than just with friends your own age. Honor and listen to your parents. God put them there to help you. And understand that it's your responsibility too to get involved in church. Connect with others who can help you to grow. It's never going to be easier in your life to develop friendships than when you're young. Don't miss the opportunity to develop those healthy relationships that will help you to grow. In just a moment, we're going to do something a little bit different as we close this morning. If you're an introvert, you're probably going to hate me. I'm kind of an introvert, so I sort of hate myself for this. But we've been talking about not being lonely. This is a relational message, and so we're going to close in a relational way this morning in just a bit. I just want to give you the heads up on that. But here's the deal. We live in a world where you can be more connected than ever before, and yet you can still be lonely. It's crazy. You know, when a kid needs to know something, instead of asking their parents, they just whip out their phone and they Google it. First time they get a flat tire, they're not calling their dad, they're pulling out their phone. YouTube, how to fix a flat tire. It's the world we live in. We have access to more information than ever before, but you know, that information is useless without somebody being able to tell us right from wrong. How do I know what's truth and what's a lie? We need those healthy relationships in our lives, and we need to provide those for other people. A young person can have thousands of people following them on Instagram, but no one who spends quality time with them or knows what's going on in their life. There's no substitute for healthy relationships. And it's all of our responsibilities as the church to make that happen. As I mentioned, we're talking about relationships this morning, so we're going to close in kind of a relational way. We do something similar to this in Wednesday nights in Remnant. What we're going to do is, in just a moment, I'd like you to gather with just a few people nearby you, maybe five or six, get a handful. Just get together with them. I just want you, if you don't know them, introduce yourself. But I just want you to ask them how they're doing. If they need prayer, pray for them. We're just going to bless and encourage each other this morning. Just find a group near you. Ask them how they're doing. Just pray for them. That's it. As the band begins to play this final song, just go ahead and form into your groups. And let's take this time to encourage each other in our faith, because we need these relationships and they make us stronger together.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Christian Chapel. For more information, visit us online at christianchapel.com.